Friends, in this chapter, we are going to discuss about the regulatory framework which governs the trade finance and globally, in India as well as global and globally. Actually, this chapter is taken separately, even though there was a reference made in each and every chapter where the regulatory bodies are controlling a different type of activities under the trade finance. Okay, in all those, and their regulations also we have discussed. This is the summing up of, this chapter is summing up of the network, particularly the regulatory network which governs the trade finance in India as well as in globally. So our objective is to understand the regulatory framework more deeper, then understand the role and responsibility of each regulatory authority. Then under that there are important laws, policies and digital system, if any, and equip with the knowledge which is needed to access the compliance, manage the risk, operate effectively with the legal and regulatory dimension. With this, our presentation will be focusing on domestic regulation, global regulation, and some of the recent development that has happened due to the digital regulation. Compliance and risk management is more important in trade finance. And finally, the trade-based money laundering, which is popularly called as a TBML, and sanction compliance, how it is to be done. So, the trade finance, as you know, this is critical enabler of international commerce and facilitating the smooth flow of the goods, services and the capital across the border. Under the cross jurisdiction, the nature and environment of multiple financial intermediaries will always be there. Better to understand these intermediaries also, and we have already taken care of explaining you all these intermediaries in trade finance process. Now, in India, this framework of the trade finance is divided into two to three organization, that is Reserve Bank of India, Director General of Foreign Trade, and Export Credit Guarantee Corporation of India. Role of each one was played by you, played by these entities was already discussed in deeper sense earlier. Then comes the Basel Committee. The Basel Committee on Banking Supervision for the Capital Adequacy and Liquidity Standards. That also is very important as far as the trade finance is concerned. In addition, global compliance framework like FATF, Financial Action Task Force, which aims to prevent the misuse of the trade finance, is very, very important to discuss. One by one, we will see what is the domestic, what is the regulatory framework. One is the domestic regulatory framework and global regulatory framework, and in between there are certain entities or certain organizations which helps both domestically as well as internationally. Okay, so the Indian trade finance, particularly India's trade finance ecosystem, is governed by multi-institutional and regulatory framework. Okay, the domestic regulatory framework generally covers the legislation, monetary policy, then foreign trade procedures, credit and insurance mechanism, etc. There are some institutions domestically which affect the India state finance regulations. Consist of one is the first is the Reserve Bank of India. That you know, Reserve Bank of India is functions under the Foreign Exchange Management Act 1999, which is called as a FEMA, and issues the master direction and master circulars for various operational related issues. And this include the key role of Reserve Bank of India is nothing but it is monitoring the export and import transactions, then regulations in respect of the trade credit are required to be issued by Reserve Bank of India. Then, and it is implementation, external commercial borrowing, buyer's credit, supplier's credit, etc. Then comes the another function, that is interest equalization scheme, supervision. Supervision, why I am saying supervision? Because the scheme is launched by the Government of India, implemented through authorized dealer bank as per the instruction given by the government through Reserve Bank of India, that is interest equalization scheme. Then rupee trade settlement is since 2022, opening of special purpose, Vastro Rupee Account, SVRS, special Vastro Rupee Account, that is very important for settlement of the trade in Indian rupees, international trade in Indian rupees. That is also one of the important function of Reserve Bank of India. Next one is the Foreign Exchange Management Act, under which the RBI is functioning. In that, in FEMA, there are various aspects which are relevant to the trade finance. One is realization and repatriation of export proceeds. We have seen that export should be concluded or export should be realized within 6 months time, and maximum period given is a 9 months. So within 9 months time, 9 months is a the maximum period that is permitted for the export to realize, and in certain exceptional cases it is 15 months. Similarly, import has to be concluded within 6 months time. Okay, and in addition to that, there is a enforcement under FEMA for KYC and AML. Then Director General of Foreign Trade, DGFT, it issues the foreign trade policy and its regulatory tool in course, the import export code, IEC code, which is compulsory for all the importers and exporters to avail it. Then export promotion schemes like EPCG scheme, then advance authorization scheme, then RODTEP, ROSCTL, etc. These are the scheme which we have already discussed. It is only just recapitulation of this whatever we are discussing. Okay, then digital trade facilitation is also like a bank realization certificate, or that is EBRC or EIEC, etc. Due to digitalization, this additional function comes to the Director General of Foreign Trade. Then Export Credit Guarantee Corporation, ECGC, very elaborately we have discussed, and we know that very important policies are issued to the exporters and guarantees are issued to the banks, and these covers different types of the guarantees, different type of policies depending upon the need of the exporter and need of the bank. Then Indian Custom and CBIC, the Central Board of Indirect Taxes and the Customs, their process, they administers the customs process for import and export goods. Then maintenance of the certain key platforms and mechanism like ICE Gate, that is Indian Customs Electronic Gateway. Indian Customs Electronics Gateway is called as ICE Gate, and the digital platform for which is used for this digital platform is used for filing the shipping bill of entry and tracking customers declaration. Duty drawback scheme, DACZ, bonded warehouse schemes, etc., and integration of the GST and DGFT system are under unified Eco Trade system. Then FIUIND, Financial Intelligence Unit in India. This is as far as the fraudulent or suspicious transaction is required to be reported, that is STR, from The banks, the financial jurisdiction under the Prevention of Money Laundering Act will be taken care for reporting this suspicious transaction to FIUIND. Other supporting institution consist of SIDBI, that is Small and Industrial Development Bank of India, Indian Exim, India Exim Banks. Then, this is apart from this domestic, there are global regulatory and standard setting bodies are there. And this is due to the increasing interoperational, connectivity of the economy. Trade finance is governed not only the national regulation but also international regulations also. Some institution, like there are certain institution which covered, which controls this is, one is ICC, that is International Chamber of Commerce, which control, which issues the guidelines relating to import, export guarantees, etc. And also for operation by issuing their publication, which called, first one is a UCP 600, which is very popular, Uniform Customs and Practice for Document Credit. Another one is a URC 522, that is Uniform Rules for Collection, which is used for handling the documents sent on collection basis. Then URDG 758 is Uniform Rules for Demand Guarantees for issuance of the international guarantees. The rules framed under this publications are used. Then these are the two, three important publications. Thereafter, there will be ISBP publication, International Rule of Regulation, International Reimbursement. Also, there are certain rules are framed by, but we are not going to go that much deep into this UCP 600 uniform, that is ICC, that is International Chamber of Commerce publication, all publications. Only related, important related, I am discussing on this, and this is what we have seen. Then comes to the Basel Committee recommendations, Basel Committee on Banking Supervision for the prudent, this is required for to establish the global prudential standard for banking regulation, including those which are impacting the trade finance. Then relevant Basel norm consists of Basel III framework, which is introduced into post 2008 crisis. Then impact then comes to the impact on the trade finance. This impact on the trade finance instruments like letters of credit, short-term self-liquidity, trade credits are assigned to the lower credit conversion factor. However, the capital requirement under the Basel III can be affected in the cost availability to the trade credit. Not much important as far as students are concerned, but for the bankers, Basel III is very, very important. Then come down to the Financial Action Task Force, that is FATF, the relevance, which is relevant under Financial Action Task Force for the trade finance consists of trade-based money laundering. This is one of the important activity because FATF identifies, Financial Action Task Force identifies the trade-based money laundering as a major typology where the trade transactions are misused to discuss the illicit financial flow. Therefore, FATF guidelines urge the financial institution to implement strong Know Your Customer, that is KYC, and Customer Due Diligence, which is called CDD. And finally, after that also, if they find the suspicious transaction, then report to FIUIND by filing the STR, that is suspicious transaction reports, within the trade operations. Now, World Trade Organization, that also we have seen. The World Trade Organization does not regulate the trade finance directly, but it influences the policy environment, right? And these areas are agreement on subsidies and the countervailing measures of ASCM. Next one will be trade facilitation agreement with different countries, producers. This to promote the simplification of harmonization and trade procedures, including the custom declaration, which indirectly impact the trade finance. International Financial Reporting Standard, IFRS. This standard is governed, this standard governs and recognition in recognition and disclosure of the financial instrument including the trade finance assets. The key standard consists of IFRS, that is financial instrument. Its impact will enhance the transparency and the risk reporting, and this may affect the pricing and lending decisions in the trade finance. United Nations Commission on the International Trade Law, that is UNICITRAL. Always we used to use this term, UNICITRAL. So this is the nothing but it is United Nations Commission on International Trade Law. And now it is very in talks because of the imposition of higher trade on Indian exports, right? Export from India and import to US. So this is the key instrument which consists of model law for electronic transferable record. Then next one will be the trade receivable discounting system, that is TREDS, then which enables the digital invoicing and discounting. Okay, then it comes the special rupee vastro account. We have already discussed much about the rupee vastro account. There is a separate chapter for that. I need not discuss it again. Then digitalization of the trade documentation. There also we have spent more time on discussing on EDRC or EIEC like instruments which are issued by DGFT. Then ICEGATE also, and as well as digital signature certificate, DSCC, which is required in the trade. Whenever you are switching over to trade into electronic form of documentation. Then integration with the GST, SEZ online and e-way bill system. These are some of the latest introduction into this. Then introduction of the blockchain and artificial intelligence in the trade finance. Because this also covers the smart contract for automated and LC settlement, smart contracts, and blockchain is ended, blockchain is enabled bill of lading, that is document to the title of goods, to prevent the fraud and improve the traceability. That is why blockchain is taking care of it. Artificial intelligence based compliance screening for KYC and AML perspective, and understanding the TBML, that is trade based money laundering risk management system, is taken care by artificial intelligence, and Indian banks are collaborating with the platforms like Contour, TradeLens and Comago to cover up all these activities. Then unified digital portal by DGFT, a single portal in a digital form, because there are many portals which has come up like IEC, then FTP, GST, and so many are there. So what is the ultimate aim of the government is, and DGFT that has launched to launch the next generation digital postal as a part of its trade facilitation and ease of doing the business. So single window interface for IEC, that is import export code, then foreign trade policy schemes which are and its applications, duty credit slips, scripts, and status holder certification. This has to be put under single window. This enables the API based integration with the banks, customs, GSTN, and post offices. This includes the dashboard and real-time status tracking and user-specific profile. Regulatory sandbox for fintech in trade finance. This is RBI regulatory sandbox framework, which includes the and focusing on the cross-border payment and also trade finance. This allows controlled testing of innovative products such as digital LC, e-invoicing, and decentralization of the finance tool. It encourages the startup and banks to collaborate with scalable digital trade finance solution. Adoption of UNICITRAL model law on electronic transferable record. Globally, jurisdictions are adopting MLETR, which MLETR means what you call as a model law for transferable records, electronic transferable record. Okay, then India is considering this alignment of MLETR and legally, which is legally enforceable digital for the digital trade instruments. The paperless and contractless international trade is coming soon, and its compatibility and the global standards and the blockchain infrastructure are covered under the adoption of UNICITRAL. The emphasis is given on the ESG and sustainable trade finance. We have a separate topic also for this. We will discuss more details about the regulation on environmental, social, and governance principles. Compliance and the risk management in trade finance is very important, and each and every person handling trade finance must aware of this compliance matters and the management of the trade finance and risk management under trade finance. First one is the importance of the compliance in trade finance. You are aware that the compliance is nothing but it is fulfillment of the regulation made by the fulfillment of the regulations which are put in force by the regulatory authorities. And this may include the prevention of trade-based money laundering, then combating of the financing terrorism, that is CFT, then ensuring accurate adoption and monitoring of the cross-border flow, and safeguarding against the fraud, sanction, violation, and the regulatory breaches. Second one is the key compliance requirements in India. Number one, KYC, that is know your customer. Number two, customer due diligence, right? Number then anti-money laundering, that is anti-AML, and combating financial terrorism, foreign exchange regulation under FEMA, then sanction screening. In sanction screening, banks are required to screen the trade transaction against the sanction list, which is issued by United Nations Security Council, that is UNSC, Office of the Foreign Assets Control, that is OFAC list, then European Union, EU, Indian Ministry and External Affairs, MEA. This at least minimum 5-6 list is required to be, the transaction has to be checked through all these lists so as to see is there any sanction on by certain countries or certain councils on the type of transaction for specified countries, specified name, specified parties, etc. Right? The global standard and the risk management framework consists of Basel III guidelines, then Financial Action Task Force, that is FATF, ICC guideline that we have seen. Then technology and compliance automation. Technology and compliance automation is also, we have seen the SWIFT, there will be SWIFT, then World Check, then there will be others like AI-based transactions, then blockchain platforms check. And this is happening because of the digital KYC and e-documentation tool are put in place by most of the banks and the financial institution. Therefore, the modern trade finance operations are made reliant on the technology-driven compliance system. Now, key risk categories in the trade finance, there are, we have seen this risk management in trade finance, we have already seen. The credit risk, operational risk, legal risk, fraud risk, market risk, and country risk, these are some of the major risks in the trade finance. The risk mitigation strategy for this type of risk consists of One is the use of confirmed letter of credit. Second one is a trade credit insurance, which is issued by the ECGC. Then due diligence on counterparties and intermediaries. Then diversification of the trading partner and markets, diversification of market also, and the robust documentation and audit trails. Periodic compliance reviews and international audit is a must, which controls the, which mitigates the most of the risk. Then trade-based money laundering, that is TBML. There are two critical areas of the regulatory focus in context of trade-based money laundering, TBML and sanction compliance. Now both are subject to close scrutiny of national authorities like Reserve Bank of India, FIUIND, and international bodies such as the Financial Action Task Force. So these are the agencies, or these are the controlling authorities for anything happen, any fraudulent things or money laundering happens. These, at least one of these institutions may catch this kind of transaction. So we should be aware that how this trade-based money laundering should be handled. So TBML refers to the process of discussing the proceeds of the crime and moving value of the legitimate trade transaction and it involves manipulation of the trade system to transfer illicit fund, not legal funds, across the borders. There are some of the important techniques under trade-based money laundering, and these techniques are used to convert the illicit or illegal money and converting into legal money, so which is not permitted under any of the country. So these techniques which are used by the fraudulents are over or under invoices. Over or under invoices means either price will be enhanced or price will be reduced depending upon import or export or depending upon the price of the goods. That is called over and under invoicing. Multiple invoicing means issuing multiple invoices for the same good to justify the multiple payments. That is also not correct. Then over and under shipment. What happens here is it is misstating the quantity or quality of the goods shipped. Then phantom shipment, that is declaring the goods that are never shipped on the deck or never shipped. Then false description of the goods, that is mislabeling the goods to circumvent the trade control or custom duties. Use of sale companies for layering the trade transactions through the fictitious companies to obscure the identities. What is important from India context is FIUIND. Reporting to FIUIND is very much essential when you come across with any activity which is covered under TBML. Sanction compliance in the trade finance is of the top. That is, sanctions are restricted. Sanctions are restrictions which is imposed by the government, like we have seen that United Nations, European Union, or OFAC, Office of Foreign Assets Control, on the specific countries, entities, individuals, so as to acquire the foreign policy, foreign currency, and to achieve the foreign policy or sanction objective. Sanction compliance involves majorly ensuring that the trade finance transactions do not violate these restrictions. The types of sanctions may be comprehensive sanction, selective target sanction, or maybe asset freeze, or maybe travel bans. Relevant authorities for the trade-based money laundering are Office of the Foreign Assets Control, that is OFAC, United Nations Security Council, that is UNSC, European Union, and finally the Ministry of External Affairs, India, which issues the India-specific sanction and advisories. The sanction compliance is responsible for Indian banks. Regulatory framework and the guidelines are RBI as far as the regulatory compliance is concerned, KYC master direction, AML guidelines, FEMA trade, etc. guidelines are issued by RBI. Then FIUIND guidelines under the Prohibition of Money Laundering Act and STR reporting. Then FATF, TABML is a typographical report, 40 recommendations on AML and CFT, then DGFT, export-import restrictions, customs and CBIC, verification of the goods, detection of the over and under invoicing, and ICC guidelines on compliance in the trade documentation under UCP 600, URGG 758. Best practices for managing a TBML and sanction is 1. Implement the risk-based approach. Number 2. Use the automated screening tool. Number 3. Perform the document validation. Number 4. Employee training. And establish the internal escalation protocol for higher risk and the suspicious transaction. And thereafter, if you notice certain thing, then you can red flag of the TBML transactions. Red flag means the payment from the discrepancy between the invoice and value mark prices. These red flags can be marked under such situation where there is a discrepancy between invoice value and market price, where payment from or to is unrelated to the third parties, then routing through the multiple countries without commercial logic, repetitive high-value transaction just under reporting threshold, and use of offshore financial center to know tax havens and counterparties with minimal and unverifiable business operations. With this, we have completed this chapter. Thank you very much.